The United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, estimates that more than 10 million people worldwide are now stateless, belonging legally to no nation. Problems for those individuals range from lack of job opportunities to discrimination in healthcare services.
In the Malaysian state of Sabah, where tough immigration laws have left more than 150,000 children stateless, the exclusion from state-run schools looms as the biggest problem. Emily Richmond has this story about a unique group of people commonly known as the Sea Gypsies. They've been ignored for decades in Malaysia, but now one man, with his wife, is trying to improve their lot.
Standing on a barren stretch of beach, staring at the sea, to him, the idea seemed obvious.
For the hardcore Badjalot, and this is not just a story, we are those who have really lived their life on boats, they actually get dizzy when they go on land.
Torben Venning's idea was to build a floating school here in the state of Sabah, a place that would be as mobile and marine-based as its students. But that was a couple years ago now, and as it turns out, that particular school never floated.
It did float. It definitely did float. It also sailed very well.
But there was a problem, a pretty big one.
We were told very, very firmly we are not going to get a license to operate that. Unfortunately, I mean, we basically need to follow the rules and make sure that what we are doing gets permits.
And the rules were clear about one thing. The Bajau Laut are not Malaysian. Not legally, at least. The Bajau, as they're also known, are an indigenous ethnic group from Southeast Asia. They live a seaborne lifestyle, using small wooden sailing vessels to get around. In the last half a century, many of them have migrated from the Philippines to the Malaysian island of Borneo due to conflicts in their local areas. Now in the state of Sabah, they make up a good chunk of the population. But they still are not accepted. They often live on the edges of towns and stilted housing above the water, or they just move from place to place. Amongst the people here, they've earned the nickname the Sea Gypsies. But for Torben, who hails originally from Denmark, the closed floating school was something he was going to have to accept. If he pursued the school for the Bajau, the Ministry of Education was threatening to pull licenses for all his other centers. You see, technically, Torben is...
I'm the project director of the Humana Child Aid Society.
Humana Child Aid, a long-standing, well-respected NGO, helping stateless plantation children by the thousands on the island of Borneo. When you watch Torben in action, he moves less like a teacher and more like an ambassador. And so, when it came to helping the Bajau, he did what diplomatically adept men have often done. He employed the charm of his wife. PKPKM, a new school specifically catering to the Sea Gypsies, would not be his doing. It would be run by his wife, Rosalind.
So we are actually here, and let me park over here, and then I hope it's not too wet. It isn't, I think.
We've just pulled up in front of the PKPKM school in Torben's huge Pathfinder, a boxy old frame that looks like it belongs in a Hemingway novel. In the back seat is a 20-gallon drum of porridge.
Many of the children, they come from, you can actually see the place, many of them come from the squatter village over there, which is called Kampung Lobang, which means the hole in the ground village or something like that. You see one of the children there in the in the black and white uniform there. I think we better go up because I think the children are waiting.
Hunger.
In a cramped, dimly lit room, there's well over 50 children spread among the desks and spilling onto the floor. 5-year-olds sit next to 14-year-olds, a mix-mash group that reflects one simple fact. For Bajau children, this is the first opportunity for education any of them have ever had. And it's not just about the schooling. For most of the kids, the meal they eat at school, that porridge Torben delivers in a big drum, may be the only meal they get that day. Torben's wife, Rosalind, explains.
Because, you know, they don't have any water. They got nothing. Everything have to buy. And before they can get from the Chinese supermarket that they make, but now they cannot.
And not having water is as crippling as you would imagine. Something as simple as a bath before school becomes a battle. So the bathing, that happens here too.
They don't pay anything. I cannot even open my mouth to ask them to pay. Why you can see people cannot even eat once a day. I don't think so. A lot of people in Malaysia knows what is really the life of the Bajau Laut. You know, they got nothing. They felt they're hopeless. And sometimes the children, when they are begging, they hit them. When they ask food from the restaurant, they threw hot water to them. They are a human being like us.
After the class is finished, Torben and I drive down to the seaside to a barren lot with dozens of boats listing in the sand. There are old VHS tapes strung out like moss on the ground. Kids with sun-bleached hair chase roosters and build cardboard playhouses. A woman in her late 30s introduces herself as Sitalina. She tells us why the Bajau have it so tough.
I was born on a boat, but the problem is the traditional places of the Bajau Laut have been taken over. We have no place to go. That's why we come here. Why are people like you guys, outsiders, coming to help us when those who should be closer are doing nothing? That's my complaint.
Torben nods and surveys the lot. It's bleak by the best of descriptions. So for now, he's doing what he can. And for parents like Sitalina, it's more hope than they found elsewhere.
My first hope is that the children can go to school. The second is that they can get documents, because even though we haven't been to school ourselves, maybe the kids can have a chance and can help us when they're older.
As I watch Torben, I wonder what makes him and his wife Rosalind stay here, entrenched in a never-ending fight for a group of people that is not their own. But it's the little moments, he says.
I was so happy the other day. I had been to our auditor and some of the not-so-funny things about the work we do here. And then a group of children, a group of boys came to watch me, and I was sort of thinking, oh no, now they're going to have out the hand and ask for money, because that is what they're doing. But instead they raised their hand and say, hello, Diego, which means hello, teacher. So no asking for money or anything, but just a friendly greeting. And that made me very, very happy.
He looks out at the sea and he says, hey, one more thing. You know that floating school?
It's very visual and it looks good and it brings a lot of attention. And sometimes that's just not what we need.
Emily Richmond brought us that report from Borneo.